a glorious church. I did not join, I was born, had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. I did not join, I was born, had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, in this church, sing a verse.
When Jesus came, He was left out. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan for a house that shall forever stand. He spoke these words, if on this rock I build my church.
I'm in this church. It's a glorious church. We did not join. We were born. We had a new birth. Some glorious day. We're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in His church. Oh, aren't you glad you're in this church tonight? Say it, buddy.
When Jesus came, He was left out. There was no place where He was welcome here on earth. But He had a plan.
Hallelujah.
For a house that shall forever stand. He spoke these words, upon this rock I'll build my church.
We're in this church.
I'm in this church.
It's a glorious church.
It's a glorious church.
We did not join. We were born, we had a new birth. Some glorious day, we're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Oh, aren't you glad you're in this church tonight?
Hallelujah. Well, isn't it a privilege once again to be back in the house of the Lord? Shake somebody's hand tonight. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. Good to see all of you in church tonight. Amen. God bless you. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of that, brothers. We'll sing it one more time. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother.
It's a glorious church. We did not join. We were born. We've had a new birth. Some glorious day. We're going to sail away. By His grace, not by my works, in this church.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. I'm going to let you be seated just for a few minutes. We've got several requests tonight we want to let you know about. Sister Ethan McQueen sends us in to please pray for her sister, Margaret Barnett. Her blood pressure is... So they're having trouble getting her blood pressure regulated. They're asking that we would just remember her in prayer. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Martha Ann Johnson offers this testimony. She wants to praise the Lord for His traveling mercies from Tallahassee, Florida to here in Johnson City. My 81-year-old mother traveled well on this trip also. She thanks the Lord for that. My brother-in-law's hip surgery went well. Can return to work very soon. Thank you for your prayer. So we want to praise the Lord for that tonight, don't we? Want to remember Brother Darrell Ward tonight in prayer. A lot of pain in his back. Unable to be in the service tonight. So let's pray for our brother that the Lord would be mindful of him. Brother David Seiler left for South Africa today. be gone for 18 days ministering to those folks in that part of the world. Let's pray for Brother David. God will give him strength, and may the folks be blessed by his ministry in South Africa. Sister Marilyn Wiggins says to please pray for a very special unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Here's please pray for two unspoken requests. Thank you, and may God bless. No name attached to that, but we're just committed unto the Lord. Please remember Sister Jan Hall in prayer. She's in Beaufort, South Carolina Hospital with a bacterial lung infection. So we certainly want to pray for her tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Here's another note in regard to Brother Darrell Ward. Brother Randy Walton wants to thank everyone for praying for a need. Lala, she's doing, I hope I got that name right. She is doing very, very good, doing a whole lot better. He wants to praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Brother Gary Ayer's mother-in-law having thyroid surgery tomorrow. So let's pray for that need. I want to remember Sister Helen Littleton tonight in prayer, and that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. They're just had the privilege to speak with Brother Gene Littleton yesterday morning, just for a few minutes, and he said, Brother Louis, he said, I just want you to know and be sure and tell all of Happy Valley that it's our desire to be back in the house of the Lord. It's their desire. And Sister Helen's situation won't permit her to be here at this time, but we know that we're serving a God that's got every situation under control. And they're just asking that we would certainly remember that family in prayer, the Littleton family, just a lovely family, and we love them, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. So I want to pray for them. I want to pray for Sister Natalie Yance. She's having a lot of problems from the chemo treatments on this past Monday. She will have to have two shots a day for the next 5 days because of this situation. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Natalie. She just battles and battles and battles. And, well, we just want to lift her up to the Lord, don't we? Amen. Brother Charlie Cox, as you know, just a little while back, suffered an injury from a falling limb that fell on him and hurt him, but he's doing a whole lot better, and they want to just praise the Lord for that. So let's continue to remember him in prayer tonight. I'll not get this name right. It's from West Cape, South Africa, the Believers Fellowship in that part of the world. I'll just read this note. Kindly pray for the will of God about my life, my marriage, and my children. Pray as well that God may grant me power to overcome myself and the order of God in my church. So whatever that need would be in that man's life and his family, let's just commit it unto the Lord. We believe God's able to help him. Please pray for my sister, Chris Green. She is having problems with her blood pressure spiking. Brother George Hamlin sends that in. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. And I believe that's all of our written requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. How many of you have something tonight you'd like for this assembly to pray about? We've seen God answer many, many times. His power never changes. He's always God. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Let's stand, if you will. Let's just sing that little chorus. Thanks. We want to give him some thanks tonight before we pray. Brother Gene Littleton, Brother Gene Lehman, if you'd get ready to come and lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight before we pray. Let's sing this little chorus, if you will. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. Oh, oh, you've done.
Before the Lord tonight, Father, as we approach your throne tonight, God, we want to say thanks for the opportunity we have to come into this place once more, that we could come and offer up worship to you, God, that we may thank you, God, for helping us, Lord, when we're unhelpable, when we don't have strength, God, our own self, to even overcome sometimes. But you've given us, Lord, the Holy Spirit, God, that would keep us and help us. And you said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We thank you tonight, God, for the word of prayer, Lord. We know that prayer changes things, God. Lord, prayer has changed, can even change your mind, God, because Moses one time said, made a thing to you, and he said, no. And God said, well, if you care for them children that much, then I'll spare them. So we thank you today, God, that you're God and you know all things tonight, Lord. And we stand with a host of prayer requests in our hands tonight, God. Sister Yance, Lord, has been going through a great just seemed like it's been one thing right after another, God. But Lord, you know all about it. You haven't forgot her. You haven't forgotten none of these requests tonight, God. Brother Charlie tonight, God, and we pray you'd touch him tonight, God. And many ones, God, people that's got high blood pressure, Lord. Sister McQueen, Lord, and Lord, there's people here in this assembly tonight, God, that needs a touch in their body, God. Lord, I know there's many that's not even here tonight, God, because they're sick or some kind of a situation that's kept them out of your house tonight, God. But Lord, we come to hear from you. And God, if we hear from you, our whole life will be changed tonight, God. And we'll become, Lord, as what you wanted us to be when you allowed us, Lord, to come from heaven and come down here, Lord. So we just ask now, God, that you'll take every bit of this service, that you'll take it under your control, God. And Lord, that you'll let our hearts, God, be as a womb, God, that we can receive it tonight, Father, that it would feather us, God, getting us ready for a body change, Lord, because I believe that we're going to get a body change. And I believe it's not long down the road, God. Many people says, no, it's not going to happen. But Lord, it's going to happen because you promised us. So we're looking for it, Lord. So we just ask now that you're, just take each one of these requests, that you'll meet them according to your divine need and glory tonight, God. Help us tonight, God, to be what you want us to be. We'll give you honor and glory for it in the name of Jesus Christ, God.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gene. God bless you tonight. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Let's sing a song tonight. That sounds like home to me. How many of you are going to sing with all your heart? All right. We're going to do good here tonight, the Lord willing. Let's sing it, if you will.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace. The tree of life is blooming, oh, yes, there forever. And a crown of life is waiting there for me.
Now let's sing it with all your heart. That sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be, there'll be no tears to fill our eyes again.
The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory,
where the saints of God will be.
That sounds like home to me. They say there's mansions there inside the city.
Oh, yes, they do.
A crystal river flowing by, a tree of life.
Hallelujah. Sing it, church.
No pain, no disappointments ever come there.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus Christ Himself will be the light.
Well, that sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be.
There'll be no tears to fear. Again, the hills will echo with the story.
Oh, yes, it will.
We sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like my home to me. Sing the second verse.
They say there's mansions there inside the city.
Say it, buddy.
A crystal river flowing
by the tree of life.
No pain,
hallelujah,
no disappointments.
Glory.
Christ,
yes, He will.
Our God will be the Lord.
Oh, sing it now. And that sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill my eyes again.
Will I go with the story as we sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Where the saints of God.
Where the saints of God will be. That sounds like my home to me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It sounds like home, Brother Terry. How many of you believe it's just about going home time? This world can't hold us much longer. Amen. I tell you, some of the services and under the ministry that we're sitting under and the messages that we're hearing, this old body can't take much more of it. We're going to have to be changed. You better sing that second verse one more time. Somebody needs to hear it tonight. Yeah, you can do it. You can do it.
They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain, no disappointments ever come there.
Oh, she's looking forward to it.
And Jesus Christ, our God, will be the light.
Well, that sounds like home
to me.
Like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again.
The hills will echo with the storm. We sing of His grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Look for me, for I will be there too. Let's sing a little bit of that chorus tonight. Look for me, for I will be there too. I want to tell you something, church. If I go, and I plan on going, I want you to go too. I don't look at nobody here tonight that I could say that I want you to be left behind. But I want us to go. I want us to live what we're hearing. As we heard here Sunday morning, Brother Donnie brought that out in such a marvelous way. Just live your life. Be a Christian. Live the Word. Be a Christian. Sounds pretty simple, don't it? You don't have to, you know, there's a song out that says, Don't worry about walking on water. Just walk right while you're on the land. So I think that's a pretty good statement. We just walk on land, right? We don't have to worry about walking on water. Can you say amen to that? Let's sing this. Look for me, because I want to be there too. How many of you want to make it more than everything else in this life? You want to make it. Look for me, for I will be there too. Oh, I realize.
so much to you. After you've been there 10,000 years, 1,000,000, maybe 2, look for me, for I will be there too. One more time with all your heart, just look for me, for I will be there too. Sing it now. Oh, you're singing it pretty. Sing it. Why don't you sing it one more time with everything you got? Oh, look
for me.
Hallelujah.
For I will be there.
Yes, I
realize you
will arrive.
There'll be so much to do after you.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother David Hunt. Where is Brother David? Brother David, if you come. Brother David's going to give you an update on some things that's been changed here in our internet situation. Just before he comes, let me make this announcement. There will be a trustee meeting tonight after the service. Sister Winters, if you'd come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Now, I've got more songs tonight that I'm going to be able to get to, but I will work them in as I can. And Sister Winters wants to sing this song and dedicate it especially to Sister King tonight. She's sick, not able to be in the service. And Sister King loves to hear Sister Winters sing this song, and she's going to sing it and dedicate to her. But first, Brother David, God bless you tonight. Now, I told Brother Michael, this is agreement as long as you don't take a text and go to pulling on that ear. So it's either one of them.
Can you hear me? Yeah. All right. We are making a request of everybody today. We have been developing a new website. This is what it looks like, and we want everybody to try it out for a few days before we go live with it. It's called beta testing. Just punch everything you can, see if you can get it to break. And if it breaks, write us an email to inform us. The main reason we have developed a new website is to make it easier to use for people to stream. A lot of people had trouble logging on, username, password. We're also making it more accessible. As you can see right here, we are now supporting mobile devices. You can, on your smartphones, your iPads, your Kindles, you'll be able to stream the service. Just going to run through very quickly some of the features. Right here on the main page, you'll see this will be an area that we'll use for notifications, like cancellations due to snow or whatever. They'll show up here, upcoming services, ministers that may be coming to town, that will show up in this area. This will be, of course, where most people will be going, live stream. When you go to live stream, this is what you're going to see. This is our player. It's part of the website. And that's actually, you are viewing what's on the screen right now. That's a live service going on. This right here, if you can see that, that will enlarge it to full screen if you need to go full screen. If you have trouble viewing, particularly on your mobile phones, if it stutters or buffers a lot, try the audio-only button. It will give you an audio-only signal that is a lot slower. You should get a lot smoother process with it. If there'll be a few people, this uses Flash unless you're on an Apple computer. This will work on Apple iPhones and all. If you're using a Windows machine, you will need Flash. Flash is on about 98% of the computers in the United States, so you probably have it. If you don't, click on the Need Help button up here. Can you get there? Yeah. I need some help here. We have some frequently asked questions. If you go back to the top of the page there, Michael. If for some reason you don't see that player, it may have some yellow text or you can't get it started, come here and press the Flash player button. It'll go to a website that will load Flash onto your computer. Very quickly, again, we still have a sermons page. You can go back and look at old sermons. You can listen to them. One feature we've added is when you click on the listen button, the control bar appears right below the service there. You can click it and play it. The watch, if you click the watch, it'll bring up another page with a player to play the video. We still have the ability to download by right-clicking on any of the download buttons, and we also make available the quotes that Brother Donnie uses when he preaches. The music is pretty much the same. We have music players. When you click on listen, you'll get the control bar. And we have the same list of music we've had before. One thing I do ask you, when you try this out on the catalog page, do not make any orders. We don't need a bunch of false orders floating around in there because we'll never figure out what's true and what's false. But we still have the same categories. We have changed events. When you click on events, you're getting a calendar layout. This will have all the services listed and anything special. If you click on a past date, say click on the 14th here, Michael. When you click on that, you'll see more details. This shows you the service. Who preached it, the name of the sermon. It gives you an option to go directly to watch it, to listen it, to download it. So you can do that also from the calendar. Click up here, Michael, to go to April. If you have an event that lasts several days, like Louisiana Youth Camp, you'll see a blue bar that spans several days and talks about it. If you click on the bar, it'll give you more detailed information about that event. Events that are out several months, we'll list them over here on the side so you're aware. Excuse me, like Vacation Bible School. My pointer, there it is. It's coming up in June. We'll have advance notice over here on the side. New to HVC, pretty much the same as it has been. Links, we have added a few links that we haven't had in the past. And contact us page, which is the last page. One feature that's kind of new down near the bottom is we do have a map. You can type your address right here and it'll give you directions directly to the church. Anyway, try this out. Do everything you can. Don't make any special orders. If you have any questions or you run across a problem, use the audio department tech support email, send us an email, and we'll be able to try to sort out these problems. We're going to try to go live with this in within a week or two. So y'all do what you can. And we'd like people who don't know that much about computers to try it out, particularly to see how easy it is to use if you have problems. They're the ones we're really concerned about. So anyway, thank you.
Sister Winters, God bless you.
I sang.
And I've named you my own.
I love with a great love. I have loved you. When you doubt that I do, count the tears scattered through my love letters to you. Remember, I love with great love. I have loved you. I have already claimed you, and I named you my own. Remember, I love you. When you die, tears scattered through my love letters to you.
Someone wanted me to do an encore performance. I forgot to give you a very important piece of information. The address that will get you out there. Basically, the part in black is what we have as our current address. If you'll add this slash rebuild at the end of the address, you'll go to our new website and be able to check out what we've done there. Anyway, thank you.
Appreciate the work that's going on. There's not a still moment around here. Don't look like. We appreciate it. Amen. Let's sing a song tonight, just the chorus, as our pastor gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you going to pray for him tonight? He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. I shall forever.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you grateful for God's grace? Let's look at another avenue of it tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. From verse 9, we'd like to draw our text for tonight on sufficient grace. Now, we ain't talking about you getting saved. We ain't talking about grace to lay aside cigarettes. Grace to help you women to quit cutting your hair. Take off your makeup. Get rid of Maybelline. Get rid of your shorts and your mini dresses. No. Different type of grace altogether. It's a grace to help you after you become a matured Christian. A child of God. That when you pray and say, my God, don't answer. And you pray again and it seems like God don't answer. And you pray again and you wish God hadn't answered. Because what he tells you, you don't want to hear. My brother, you need grace. When things like that happen in your life, you need grace. Not to get an attitude. Now don't stand there and look at me and tell me that you only had an attitude against God before. Because I'm going to tell you, your face, you are a liar. Good way to start out a service, ain't it? Nothing like creating a good atmosphere for the Word. Notice now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, not your strength. This is what we get in our minds sometimes. God takes our strength, then he puts his strength on top of our strengths, and then we become super Christians. You've been reading too many comic books. God takes his strength and puts on the top of your weakness and makes you do what you thought you could never get finished for God. Not our strengths, friends. Not our strengths. Not our greatness, not our abilities. God cannot use one of them. That's staggering, isn't it? Now, there's a difference in a gift now and abilities. God-given gifts, God uses those, but not abilities. Now, watch this. Paul says, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now, he was asking to get rid of it a while ago. Now he wouldn't take nothing for it. Wow. You tell me grace won't do something for you? You mean you'll hate something so bad you can't despise it? And all of a sudden you get just a little touch of grace and you say, thank God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Notice this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your great, great word. We confess before you tonight, Father, that we need help in understanding such a great, profound thing. For all of our lives as humans, we are taught the opposite of this. Many of these parents do their children some great discredit because they teach them that they can do anything they set their mind to. And if they're not careful, they'll try to be a Christian in that same mindset. If they want to be a Christian, all they have to do, they think, is set their mind to it. There's people standing right here tonight that's trying to be a Christian with that mentality. Lord, I pray you'd help every one of us to see we don't even understand the first principles of Christianity without a new birth. It's not our setting our minds to it, reading, studying, none of that, Lord. We can't even see the kingdom of God without a new birth. Help us tonight, Father. We ask you, Lord, for grace in this service. Sufficient grace. Grace to help us to understand in the time of need. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Are you happy to be gathered together tonight? I'm sure Paul had so many visitations of the grace and the power of God. When the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus, when Ananias came and offered prayer. When the scales fell from his eyes. When he received the Holy Ghost. When God gave him favor among the brothers that he had persecuted. And they were able to receive him as a messenger of God. That was grace, unmerited favor. When God anointed him to preach the gospel, cast out devils, heal the sick, do many, many wonderful signs and wonders. That was grace. All of these things that we could mention was the grace of God. But yet, in many of these manifestations or dispersings of grace, they were for other people and for the sake of other people. So therefore, they might not have meant so much to Paul personally when he was able to lay hands on those who had a bloody flux and pray for them and God would heal them. When he was able to shake the viper off in the fire, God spared his life. But you can tell by the testimony and the way that it's written by Luke that it actually meant more to the onlookers than it did to Paul himself. It wasn't that Paul looked back and said, wow, I didn't know that happened. Man, I think I'll do that again. That was overwhelming. Paul just went on like it was everyday normal stuff. Like pouring a cup of coffee, wrapping a paper, cellophane paper on a Twinkie, opening your mouth and sticking your mouth. Paul wasn't shocked. He wasn't overwhelmed, but it overwhelmed everybody else around him. But when grace really reached down to Paul, it's when it ministered something personally to him. It's when something so profound had come to him as an individual, and he knew that his life from that point on would never be the same again. I like that kind of grace. Now, it's when God actually opens up something to you as an individual about yourself. You see, the reason, friends, that God cannot help many of us is because we do not know our need. God's strength is only made manifest to those who are conscious of a weakness. Now, if we think that we're strong here and here and here and here and here, and we're all the time looking down our noses at all of those that are around us, and we feel so sorry for them in their weakness because of this or that or the other, you realize the strength of God can never come to us in a very great way because we are not conscious at all of any human weakness. But we're looking at all the strengths of our mind. This never shakes me. That never shakes me. I don't need help there. I don't need help there. Oh my, you understand that you're cutting yourself off from the personal administration of the grace of God. And you're saying, well, that's why I'm in the message, folks. They only attribute grace to when they got saved. It's as if though they do not need grace again. But now this is many, many years after Paul had then got saved. And the Lord Jesus chose the administration of grace to minister to Paul in this time of need. Not grace to save. Not grace to sanctify. Not grace to fill with the Holy Ghost. Not grace to cast out a devil. Not grace to lay hands on somebody with a bloody flux. Not grace to shake a viper in the fire. But grace to understand unanswered prayer. Grace to understand when you pray the first time, God says nothing. You pray the second time, God says nothing. You pray the third time and God says what you don't want him to say. You're not wanting to hear that. You are praying for deliverance, not sufficient grace. Paul was not praying, Lord, I'm asking you, help me to bear this thing. Help me to go through life the rest of my life. That was not his prayer at all. So his prayer was not even answered in the way he was seeking God. He was seeking God with his mind made up. He knew within himself. He thought he knew the only way he could ever deal with this thing was this thing must leave him. How is he praying? He's not praying, Lord, if it be your will, let this thing part. He said, I pray, let this thing depart from me. But instead of departing, Jesus said, no, I'm going to give you grace. Grace. So the third time when Paul prays,
He doesn't get an answer to this. Notice how he says this here. He says in verse 9, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart. Now, each time Paul is seeking God, that it would depart. There's not even a question in his mind, as far as what he thinks, that this is the will of God for it to leave it. I mean, there's no question. He's not going to say, well, if God, if it's your will, or Lord, if it be your will. He's not even praying that way. But all three times, he prays exactly the same way. I know this is the will of God. I know this is the will of God for this thing to leave me. But what he knew was totally wrong. Anybody besides me and Paul ever been in that situation where you just know this is the will of God and you're just as wrong as you can be? But real people can admit it. Other folks can't, but real people can. Now, what's this? So he makes this request in all sincerity. Now, but I tell you, thank the Bible with all of my heart. I know this is the will of God. Now, friend, let me make sure that you understand this, that we do not accept every sickness, every trial, every test, every difficulty of life. We do not accept everything from this point on and identify all of them as thorns, because they are not. So how should we approach them? In exactly the same way that Paul did. When you're going through a sickness, a trial, a test, don't from now on label everything that you're dealing with a thorn, because the devil will trick your heart if you'll let him. He'll convince you that everything you're going through from this point on is a trial. I do not believe that, and that is a lie from the pits of hell. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray about it. A trial comes, we're going to pray. A test comes, we're going to pray. A sickness comes, we're going to pray. And if Jesus tells me this is a thorn to remain for 6 months or a year or 10 years, I will accept it. I will not accept it if the devil tells me that. I will not accept that even if false prophets tell me that. If it's important enough for Jesus to leave it on me, then I expect to hear from Jesus about sufficient grace. So therefore, what do, my friend? We keep praying for the sick. We keep casting out devils. We keep believing God for deliverance. Amen. And if the Lord wants something to remain, we do exactly the way Paul did. And then if we're misunderstanding, as Paul misunderstood, Paul totally misunderstood. If a prophet of God misunderstood, what about me and you? If he totally misunderstood the reason this was there, and he kept praying, God, let this thing get away from me. Let it leave me. But you know what? Jesus didn't get so mad and so upset. And so I'll tell you one thing. Because you're praying that way, I'm not even going to answer you at all. I'm just going to let you go right on and pray. He was as wrong could be. But Jesus felt obligated to make himself known to him. Now, Paul finally gets an answer in a way, but yet it's not exactly what he longs to hear. Now notice this in verse 9 again. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. We looked at this last Wednesday, but let's look at it again. The word sufficient is be content, be enough, be possessed of unfailing strength. To be strong, to be satisfied, to be contented. Now what is this dispersing of grace going to do to Paul? It's going to be an allocation of strength that Paul had never had to this time. Now remember, he had the Holy Ghost, he had a new birth, he had power to cast out devils, heal the sick, but he had never had a dispersing of this type of strength before. Because the showing that he did not have this before, if he had, he would have not been praying, God, take this from me. But he was praying sincerely as well as he knew. And the Lord Jesus opened up a dispensation of strength that Paul had never experienced before. Now, it was not a deliverance. It was not a tingling. It was not the anointing come out of him. Boy, I rebuke this devil. I command this devil to leave me. But it was a contentment and a satisfaction somehow that God is going to help me. And this is for my good. When God allows thorns in our life, they are for our benefit. Thorns are not sins. Thorns are not besetting sins, nor are they vile corruptions that is in our flesh. Come on, children. Neither are they self-inflicted things, but they are things that God, by whatever means, will allow in your body, in your spirit, on your workplace, in your home. And most of the time, it will be things that you cannot take care of yourself. He does it that way so it leaves you totally out of control. Now, watch, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. Now, hear Jesus saying, Paul, I want to give you an understanding that I've not quite reiterated down through the ages. I want to let you see that my strength, not your strength, not yours and mine together, but my strength alone. Now, notice how Jesus emphasizes this strength, and he makes it a possessive of deity. This is my strength, not mine and yours. Mine and your mamas and your daddies and your uncles and your nephews and your cousins and all of them together, Paul, and we're all going to make you strong. But he says, my strength, mine alone, is made perfect in your weakness, because as you begin to recognize, I cannot do this on my own. I cannot live this life on my own. I cannot be able to have rushing faith. I cannot do this, that, or the other. I cannot do it. Then as you honestly see that, not a fake humility now, but in a consciousness from within you, it finally hits you. I can't do it. In this age of positive confession, I realize this will go over like a lead balloon. Because folks don't want to hear this. Because we like to brag about how strong we are. Boy, I'm this and that and the other. I'll tell you what you are. You're a big, hot bag of wind. Say, now it's a 170-pound dirt bag. Some maybe it's 210, some maybe it's more than that, and some maybe a little less. And you cannot do anything of divine purpose or origin without the Spirit of God helping us to do it. Now watch. Brother Bram says this. God said to Paul, my strength is perfect in your weakness. My strength becomes more perfect as you become more weaker. Now, but Brother Donnie, weaker what? Does that mean weaker in coming to church? Well, people ain't coming to church, so they're getting weaker and weaker in the Lord. Oh no, that's not it at all. What's the paradox about it is you're coming there, you're as faithful as you can be. You come to church, you read, you pray, you do all those things, and yet within you, not you're getting cold, not you're backsliding, but within yourself, you're looking at yourself and say, I'm trying harder than I've ever tried before, and I feel like I'm farther away. But it is only feeling. In reality, you're not, but you feel like you are. As a matter of fact, some of you sitting in this place tonight have been wondering for months on end why you've come to church, why you've prayed, why you've read your Bible, and you wonder why God seems like he's a million miles away. You ain't even felt him, and you don't know how long. You've not even prayed through, even though you pray, and you don't even know how long, and you think you're farther away from God. You are closer to God than you've ever been in your life, because you're coming to the spot to where you realize you can't feel it. You can't conjure it up. You can't make it happen. You try to even get a little hat inside a mouth. That don't even work. You try to read more. That don't even work. You try to pray more. That don't even work. You're a good candidate to recognize that God has a dispensation of grace he wants to give to you. Watch what a statement. My strength becomes more perfect as you become more weaker. More you can yield to me, the better I can use you. The more you can forget about your education. More you can forget about your denomination. The more you can forget about your stuff. So if you're down tonight and you don't have a denomination, he still covered us because he said stuff. And all of us have got stuff. Forget about your stuff and yield yourself to me. The more I can use you, because you become weak, and I'll make my purpose strong. Oh, thank God for sufficient grace. Now, look as he says these words again, Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, perfect in its manifestation, perfect in its operation, as weakness has give way. Because our strength is actually God's enemy. Our weakness is God's friend. Our strength is Satan's friend. Ooh. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to have to make that amen tape sure as the world. Well, this service is over. I probably wish I had made it too. Now, watch. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, only when our weakness becomes apparent to us. Don't you see, friend? It doesn't make any difference how much other people see it. It will never help you if I see your weakness, Brother Jim. It'll never help me if you see mine. But I've got to see it. I must see my weakness, Brother Dow. You must see yours. But we don't want to see that. Because humans by nature are fault finders of other people. And we're the measuring tape, of course, that we measure them by. Here's the perfect rule right here, you know, right there. I mean, I think church ought to be the, I think. So you're the measuring tape for Happy Valley. So then we measure all the cuts by you. Right? Now you see, many people are that way, but they don't see it as a fault. They look at it as a strength. And Jesus can never help people with that attitude. Because they don't look at that as being a fault. They look at that as being a great strength and a great attribute from God. But if that were so, God would have let you be virgin born. I mean, you would have been the virgin born son of God or daughter of God out of Mary. And you would have died for my sins. And I would have called you my Lord and Master. Well, glory. Come on, church. Don't get quiet on me. Oh, my. Then you got folks on the other side. Well, I ain't nothing. I ain't even fit to go to church. I ain't fit. And most of them people don't believe that neither. They're lying. I don't want either side of that. I want the middle of the road. I want to be humble, but I want it to be true. I ain't going to say, well, I ain't worth nothing. Well, I don't think that. I believe I am worth something. And not just my soul either. My body thinks it's worth something too. Don't tell me yours don't. Because if I didn't, I'd come to church smell like I did about 1 o'clock today where I had sweat all on me and dirt and mud where I'd been working outside. I don't think y'all thought I was very presentable neither. But you know what? I felt like I should clean up a little bit and take a shower for nobody else to take your alls so I could be able to come to the house of God, put on a clean change of clothes, be able to walk out of there, come on. Because you know what? I would be ashamed and be embarrassed to stand before you tonight the way I was dressed today about 1 o'clock or so. Don't sit there and look at me. Some of y'all probably been ashamed to stand before us at 1 o'clock like you were today too. But there's something about us, friends. We want, what do we want? We want true humility. We want true humility. If we really think that we're not worthy of God's blessings, that we're not this, that, other, we would put everybody in front of us and have no problem with it. You're going to keep on, sir. You're going to get me fired from this church. Now watch, Jesus says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh my, can you comprehend this? The Lord really needs your weaknesses. He needs them. But we give him our strengths and hide our weaknesses. Here you go. Oh, I'm strong in this. Here you go, Lord. I'm strong in that. Here you go, Lord. What you got in your hand? Oh, nothing, Lord. Oh, nothing to concern yourself with. I'm giving you what I'm great in, Lord. I excel in mathematics. I excel in this. I excel in God. Said, I don't want that. What did you fail in? That's what I want. Watch this. Brother Man said, there's so many of us that likes to testify. Whew. Or likes to think that we're insufficient. And therefore we make that an excuse. I have no education. And therefore, oh my, I have no ability. I'm unable to do this. Now look how deceiving these statements are. It seems this person is saying exactly the right thing, but they're not. It would seem as if, oh, this is a perfect candidate for God to use them, but they're not. Because they're making these excuses why they cannot go on. Instead of giving them to God as weaknesses by through which God will actually accomplish the job. So they think they're excused because of these things. God said, you're not excused. That's what I want to use. Glory. Oh my. I have no ability. I'm unable to do this. And if you keep that up, you do that in that way. In that way. He didn't say you're saying the wrong things, but you're saying them the wrong way. Notice this. The very thing that we make excuses by our weaknesses, God uses that very thing to tackle the job with. Please listen to me. God used Jesus' fear of death to defeat death. He did not use his strength. Come on, death. Come on. I dare you. Come on. I challenge you. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he feared. So God used his fear of death and conquered death with it. It's mind-boggling. I know. God did not use his great power to walk on the water and say, I'll die for their sins by power to heal the sick. But God used his weakness in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. God didn't use his strength. He used his weakness. Lord have mercy. Notice he says he waits for us to get to that condition so he can use us. We take the excuse and say, well, I can't do this. I'm so insufficient. I can't do it. And God takes that very thing to do the job with. That's true. That's the reason. Oh, my Lord. And here all along, we've been thinking it's because we're so great and so pretty. And some of you businessmen thought it's because you were so business savvy that God made you a part of his body. God didn't save you because you're witty in certain areas. He saves you because you're dumb in others. Them areas you think you're so great in and you're so proud in, look back at them areas, my friend, and see if them same areas ain't caused you a lot of trouble. Uh-oh, I done see y'all going to head the wrong direction with me now. You're going to tighten up on me like a banjo string. Oh, glory. But yet God says, no, it's not that. It's not your ability to do this and quote and do this and that and the other. And Brother Bram said, preacher say, boy, I tell you one thing, Brother Bram, I can really preach. He said, as long as you can, he can't. Lord have mercy. God takes that very thing to do the job with. That's the reason he chooses us. Because we're in that condition. Now that sounds strange. It's 1961. It still sounds strange, Brother Branham. These people have heard this statement. I'll tell them how many times. It still sounds strange to us today. Notice this. We find out that those people who are the weakest and rejected by the outside world is God's heroes. That conquer in the front line. That take those that feel themselves unworthy. Now notice it takes the weakest and the rejected. Practically every hero that God ever heard on the front line was that type of person. A person that was rejected. A person that thought he was insufficient. A person that had no ability at all. Then that person is just in good shape. So God can start using them. That's right. When they feel like they can't, they haven't got nothing. Who is it always causes so much trouble in churches? It's never these people. Not these people from the soul. It's the people who think they know so much. They know how to help the preacher preach. They know how to have deacons be deacons. They know how to tell the trustees to do this and that or the other. Or they know how everything has been done, though they themselves have never done it. But yet they know how it ought to be done. Well, let me ask you something. If you bought your boy a book on how to be a policeman, you reckon the Johnson City Police Force would hire him once he got done reading that book? Just because you bought him that book, and boy, he told all these brothers, I'll tell you one thing, you need to do this and that because he read the book. That's like some of these knotheads in the Message. They read the Message and they think they know how it ought to be done. Apparently God didn't agree with you if he never called you to do it. Ooh. Oh my goodness. Whew. Know-it-alls. Oh yeah. God can't use know-it-alls. God don't want know-it-alls. He wants know-it-nothings. Now you won't find that term in Wikipedia. Neither will you find it in Daniel Webster's dictionary, but you will find it in the Message, which is good enough for me. Now watch, he says, but when we're thinking that we're able to do it, then God can't use us because we're wanting to do it ourselves. Do you realize preachers can be like this? Do you realize singers can be like this? Boy, I know I could bless the church if I could just get up there. I'll tell you one thing, if they'd let me, I believe I could. I could. Oh, my. Notice what Brother Ben says about that mentality now. The important thing, one of the important things that we must master. Now remember this, especially you young preachers and lay members alike. There's one thing we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. And this is the master's degree that I search for. I'm too old probably to get a GED and probably too old to graduate from high school, but too old to get a bachelor's degree and a degree in this and a degree in that. But if I can get this master's degree right here, I figure I'll be ready for the rapture. Amen. Oh, glory. You're talking about a master's degree, my brother, sister. Notice this. Now what he says. There's one thing we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. And that is, we have to master the thought of human ability. Did you notice he didn't say Jesus would master that thought in us? But we must master that thought in us. The thought of human ability. And let me just tell you right up front, this is absolutely, totally impossible for a human to do without a new birth. That's why folks around the Message, many of them will never do it because they're not born again. They'll hear it preached, it makes perfect sense to them, and it's logical as it can be, and they'll go right out them doors forgetting what manner of man or woman they were, and go pick right back up on their natural nature, which they cannot master without a new birth. Oh. Do you understand where this come from? Jesus had to master this himself. Jesus had been allocated power and authority. And when Satan said to him, cast yourself down off the pinnacle of the temple, by position and authority, he could have done it. But he had to master the thought of human ability. Yet the power given to him was not human ability. No, but the authorization of that power without divine authority is human ability. You see, I can get up and preach things that I think needs to be preached, and I can study on this and study on that and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to preach on this because I think it needs to be preached, and I'm going to preach on that, and I'm going to preach on that. It might be God and it might not be. Uh-oh, come on now, church. I don't want to rely upon me. I don't want to rely on the gossip in the church. Everybody texts me what's going on in the church so I can know what to preach. I don't want to hear the gossip going on in the church. I don't want to hear about this and that and the other. I want to be led of the Holy Ghost. I want to set my study and let the Spirit of God drop something down there. And then people say, my Lord, how did he know that was going on? The master's degree. The master's degree. So I can master the thought of human ability. If the Lord Jesus was handing out these master's degrees tonight on paper to those here in the service and those who are streaming tonight, I wonder how many he'd have to hand out to us. If Jesus was handing out on a piece of paper where everybody could see it, you have successfully learned to master the thought of human ability. To where that everything you do, everything you say, every conjecture, every motive, every objective, you run it by the Word. You check, is there any selfish thing in me that wants to do this or do that or say this or do that or do something else? Or am I led of the Spirit of God? Do you master the thought of human ability of absolutely every aspect of your life? How many degrees would need to be handed out tonight? If Jesus was handing them around the world, all over Africa, all over India, all over the world to message people, how many would he need to print up? This certifies that John Doe has completed so many years of teaching and training. He has successfully earned this master's degree. Whew. Let me tell you something. Some of the ones who will get them will be as dumb as a coal bucket. Some of them, friends, will be people around this message around the world. They didn't have no e-book. They never had no computer, Brother Jim. They'd have to go to a library the way some of our brothers in Africa do. Have to go to a public library and sign on and send out emails and come to our services and go to our website and print out quotes that they hear me read because they ain't got it in their own language. Or if they do have English, they don't have it on their computer because they don't have a computer. Because some of them don't even have electricity. So they go to a library and print out the quotes that we put up on our website and take them back to their church and preach it on Sunday. And you and I might look at them and they may not smell because they can't take a shower every day like you and I can. They might have some little body odor to them. And they might sleep in a place that you wouldn't find very fitting. But I wonder how many of them have learned the ability. Oh my, they've learned how. And the Lord Jesus could give to them a master's degree. And some of us Americans, he'd send us to the back of the line and say, you're not ready. Oh my. Oh goodness, you believe this, friends? Yes. Notice, we must master the thought. This is profound to me. We must not master human ability. Don't read that quote that way. That's not what he said. You must not master human ability. You must master the thought. Some of you think you've got it under control because you never do anything. But in your mind, you sit there and tell me what I should preach. He shouldn't say that. He shouldn't say it that way. You would never come up to me because some of you are scared of me. You'd never walk up to me and tell me that. But you're guilty. You're guilty because you sat there in your heart and the thought. You think, well, I don't say it. Don't do me no good. You don't understand what the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham. Your thoughts in heaven are louder than your words on the earth. God ain't wanting us, friends, just to put our hand over our big fat mouth. He's wanting us to learn how to control the thought. To master the thought of human ability. Brother Donnie, do you understand what you're preaching? You're preaching something totally impossible. Glory. Hallelujah. You saw it. Praise God, you saw it! I am preaching something totally impossible for us. But not for our God. It may be impossible for us, but not for our God. Lord Jesus. Look how simple this is, friends. We've preached the thunders, we've preached Perusia, we've looked for all these deep things that would give the bride some kind of power to become this and that and the other. I wonder if it doesn't lay in something like this. It's so simple. That we will be able, by the indwelling presence of God, to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think that we do it, but we think that we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities. We've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so God can use us. Notice this. Listen how simple. And make a complete surrender. We cannot use one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender. And to come to God, you've got to surrender to Him both soul, body, and spirit. Everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that He can work His will in you and in me. Now that's hard, I know. Because we're always wanting to put our part. Oh, glory. I love the way He included Himself in this. Notice this. Something that we know. You know, we want to do it this way. So, well, I just know it should be done this way. Uh-oh. So now it gives us an example of human ability unmastered. Don't seemingly threaten nobody. You're just sitting there thinking within yourself. I don't think a preacher ought to preach that way. Brother Donnie preaches on politics. I don't think a preacher ought to preach that. Really? Well, I want to ask you just a little something, okay? How long has it been since you listened to the Seals? How long has it been since you listened up 61, 62, when the Democrats and the blacks put in John Kennedy and Brother Branham told them they sold their birthrights on a Democrat ticket? Easy to tell which one's Democrats. They're all blessed. But you see what that is? That's your thought. But your thought's contrary to the message. But yeah, you said and judge a man, but I think. And you think, glory to God, I'm so under control. I haven't smoked in 35 years. I ain't got internet in my house. I ain't looked at no videos. Glory to God, I'll tell you one thing. I think I'm about ready for the rapture. Man, I've got me under control. Oh, Jesus, get me out of here. Now we say, well, I just know it should be done this way. But as long as you're doing it that way, it's going to be wrong. And God will never use that effort. So Paul, let's go back again now to verse 9. I wonder how he must have felt early that morning, late that night, whenever it was, that Jesus come to him. And he says, Paul, I'm going to open up a dispensation of grace for you. This is not for Peter, James. It's not for the church at Ephesus. It's not for the church at Corinth. This is personally for you. I'm going to give you an endowment of grace that's going to help you. You ever deal with things and you try to share it with other people and they look at you like you're from the moon or something, you know, and they just got that look on their face and you can tell right out they cannot relate at all to what you're talking about. And sometimes it's good for us to share things and ask for prayer. But I'm going to tell you, friends, there comes a time when we have to go to God and God alone and go to Him and say, Lord, I've tried to talk to this one and they looked at me strange. I talked to that one and they looked at me even stranger. I know I can come and talk to you and you will look at me with your mouth open and look really weird at me. Lord, I need help with this. I need an answer. And God, I'm not going to tell you, I don't know. I don't know if this is your will. I don't know what I'm going through. I don't know why I'm going through it, but I need a special allotment of grace, Lord. Help me that I don't get an attitude toward this man or that woman or this and that and the other. Lord, I just don't know where I'm at. I don't know what's going on, but Jesus, would you help me, Lord? Please. I'm in the need of prayer. You understand what you're doing? You're making your weaknesses known.
Oh, can you imagine us saying we don't know what God's will is? Oh. There's a certain brother from South Africa sent me a question here last week. He said, Brother Donnie, what about such and so and so? And I said, I wrote him back and said, Brother, I have no idea. I don't know. He wrote me back and said, that's one thing I love about you. If you don't know the answer, you'll just come right up and tell it. He said, the law of the preacher down here in South Africa, they'll give you an answer if they have to make one up. Oh, my. Let me tell you something. That ain't just so in South Africa. That's the so in a lot of places. You know why? Preachers are afraid of weakness. They don't want to tell their congregation they don't have all the answers. But let me tell you tonight, I don't have them. And if the Bible don't say it and the message don't say it, I'll help you pray about it. But I don't know. There's many times I just don't know. Oh, you say that? Oh, my, how could I follow you? Oh, my. You don't even understand, do you? That's the confession of a man that's signifying I need God. If I had all your answers, you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. I could be your Holy Ghost. Oh. What has happened to this man? He's prayed. And prayed and prayed. God, take this thing from me. Let this evil devil leave me. Now grace drops upon this man's soul, opens his eyes, and he grabs a hold of that thing. Don't take it from me. I need this, Jesus. I need this. Look what grace does. Man, if it can make Paul do that to a thorn, I believe you brothers prayed hard. If it can make you do that to your mother-in-law. Or maybe your wife. Maybe that young one of yours. Or maybe your boss. Or maybe your pastor. Well, some of y'all look sometimes and I preach them and you all draw it up like an old persimmon or something. I kind of think I might be some of y'all's thorns the way you look. Notice, it so changes this man that he said, most gladly, I am so overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm about. I'll tell you one thing, I've got so much joy, I just don't know if I can contain it anymore. Paul, what in the world happened? Have you been back to heaven again? No. Has the great angels of God come to you? No. I got an answer from God. God's not going to take this thing from me. And I'm so happy I'm about to blow up. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad about it. We'll be praying for you. Bless you, brother. What happened? Grace. Grace. So he changes from, I hate this thing. Oh, this thing is, oh, I love this thing. Oh, oh, I need this so bad. Not nice for you to think I'm a nut now. Remember, you must master the thought of human ability. Notice he says, ah, most gladly therefore, I'll glory in my infirmities. Notice he does not say sins. Oh, I've done this wrong and I'm paying for it and I've been paying. Glory to God, I'll glory in my infirmities. This ain't something he's done. He's not reaping for a bad seed he's sowed. Notice why, Brother Terry. Oh, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, these words that he chose to use was the overshadowing of a tent or a tabernacle. And Jesus was meeting him in there. Now notice Paul says, and I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest, may build his tent. You mean to tell me this man didn't already have the Holy Ghost? Sure he did. He didn't already have the power of God on him. He did, but not like this.
This was fixing to unfold a depth of Christ that Paul had never known. Oh. The sense is, notice the way he says this, that the power of Christ, he doesn't say Jesus, but Christ, the Messiah, the anointed word, that Christ may set up a tent of this all-sufficiency, this grace, this power, that he might pitch a tent around me. Lord Jesus. Notice how he says this. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That don't make sense. It don't make sense humanly. Now a person might repeat these words, but without the dispensation of grace in their own life, it will not mean the same to you nor me as it did to Paul. Paul is saying these words by experience of a revelation. We have said them and repeated them for years, and they did not minister to us nor open to us a dispensation of grace. So we just kept repeating them, repeating them, repeating them, and they meant hardly nothing. But this man, when he said it, it had such meaning. Because now Christ had set his tent and opened up a dispensation of Christ to Paul that he had never experienced before. Let's read, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 32, the great heroes of the book of Hebrews here. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. How did they do all this? Out of weakness were made strong. Not out of strength. But out of weakness were made strong. Now let's read of the first one here that Paul mentions. Gideon, Judges chapter 6 verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and said unto an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, the son, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, notice the way these Lords are spelt. If the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, be with us, why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. Oh, and this is a mighty man of valor, is it? God never forsook them. They forsook God. The introduction to this hero is, he's weak in faith and he's blaming God for something God's not guilty of. Sounds like the makings of a real hero. He just said, oh yes, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm ready, amen. Lord, just say, I'll do it. I'll tell you one thing, God, I'll preach 37 times the first time I've ever called to preach. I'll sing 147 specials. I'll lead testimony services. God, I'll go overseas. I'll do the God. I'll tell you one thing, I'm your man. I'm your man. I'm your man. God says, sit down and shut up. You ain't going nowhere. Looked upon him and said, go. and best I might. And what night might that be? Lord, didn't you hear what he said? But you see, the Lord has the ability to look past where we are and look where we can be and what we really are from our soul. And he addresses that. Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad. How many times have we been like Gideon? I'll tell you one thing. How come this? And I don't know. I don't know about all that other. And God, Brother Scott, in all of his mercy, looks past us and says, come on, Donnie. Come on, Frank. That ain't really you. You're just mouthing and going off at the mouth. That ain't really you, Dale. But really, you're that man of faith. You're that one who can trust me. Going this that night. Thou shalt save Israel. You got to be kidding me. From the hand of the Midianites, have not I sent thee? Paul, are you sure you got the right name? And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Yep, God's man. Exactly the one the Lord wants. Amen. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Verse 25, and it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullocks, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. Uh-oh. He's got to start in his daddy's house. Ooh. Man, a lot of folks can preach hell, fire, and brimstone as long as it's the folks other than their own family. Come on, children. This is one good way to test a real man of God's loyalty. See if it trips through family blood. So Gideon's own daddy had an altar of Baal. And God said, you ain't going out there and preaching no message of deliverance when your own daddy's got an altar erected to Baal. So God says, you get down there and take your own, notice what he says. Take thy father's young bullock. Oh boy, this is going to go over good. I'm going to go down and tear down daddy's church and I'm going to use daddy's own bullock to do it. Great. Oh, glory. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. In the order place and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice in the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. So he's going to tear down an altar of Baal and he's going to tear down this grove because they'd set a bunch of trees together and they'd make a grove to Baal. Every one of them heathen. They said, you get down there and I want you to do it. Take over to the barn and take two big bullocks out of there. Yeah, I want you, one of them I want you to pull down, the other I want you to kill. Of course, Gideon being this great hero, this great man of gallant faith, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. So it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. He could not do it by day, but he did it by night. They wrap something around the bullock's mouth so they don't... Somebody kick it up. Possible. Work. Anybody got a rubber mallet? Great hero, huh? Friends, this ought to so encourage you tonight. You ought to walk out of here so lifted up. What a
And God said, you yellow-bellied cowards, you think God didn't know he was going to do this? You think God didn't know your mess-ups, your mistakes? God saw what was in you. Let's stand.
We'll leave Brother Gideon in the barn or out there at the altar, wherever you and your imagination want to leave him. We'll pick him up again, Lord willing, next time. Heroes of faith that learned to master what? The thought of human ability. God picked people that were so weak, and those that were strong, he had to beat the daylights out of them. Get them where he could use them. As I heard Brother Bam say it yesterday, took Moses all them years to get his education. 40 years to get educated. Took God 40 to beat it out of him. Then he gave God 40 years of service. 40, 40, and 40, 120. He lived to be 120 years old. For 40 years learning, 40 years unlearning, and 40 years learned. Oh, glory.
Why? He was able to get out of the way and let God use it.
Let me tell you something, friends. Let me tell you what I think I need. Where I'm at right now in my life. Sufficient grace. To face my everyday task. My battles, my trials. I've realized for a long time, dispensationally, me, Donnie Reagan, I'm not where I was when I first came to the church here 20 years ago, 20-some years ago. When so many folks around the message want me everywhere around the world. That was a time in my life. I'm not there anymore. I'm not there anymore. I'm in a different time in my life. Many of you are too. We're in a different time in our life. The children of Israel had to come to a spot to where that they were no longer attacking Philistines, Amorites, and Hittites and taking the land. They had to settle down in their land. Many of them did not fail in battle. They failed in domestic things. Can you imagine them men hanging up their weapons and going out in the barn and getting a mattock and a shovel and a grubbing hoe, as y'all call it here, mattock. Going out there and taking them out, them soldiers that fought for years. And now they got to raise cattle and goats and sheep and sit down and listen to the boys as they go out and play stickball. And they've got to shift from, shift their mind and change their mind from killing and thinking how to undermine the enemy. And now you got to think about taters and beans and maters and cucumbers and zucchini. And you got to think about all that. Would it have felt near as great? Which feels the greatest? A giant killer or a diaper changer? Which felt like the greatest victorious time in your life? Slaying dragons and killing, cutting heads off of devils? Or measuring out formula in your baby's bottle? Helping your clothes, your kids get the clothes picked out for kids to go to school. Many of your brothers never failed in cutting the heads off Goliath and his brothers. But it's learning how to be a good husband, a good father. Knowing how to give them just enough and not give them so much that you spoil them. Just learning how to be a good dad, a good mom. And Timmy said, say something. You've got to master the thought of human ability that you know how to be a perfect dad. You do not. You sisters need to master the thought of human ability that you know how to be the perfect mom. You do not. You need God's help to help you be the right kind of mom. You grandparents, you think you're the greatest grandparent in the world, and boy, I tell you, I'm this and that and the other. You need God's help too, Papa. You see, friends? Oh, you're taking everything away from me. Right. Some of you think you know how to trade cars, and you walk down there and you sit down. Buddy, they ain't going to get me. I'll tell you one thing. Old pro here. Tell you what, old pro, you better pray. There's many a car that's rolled off that new car thing, and you think, boy, they're brand new. You don't know that they've been to the body shop. I've seen several of them down there that you thought you was getting a brand new car. You better pray. I'll tell you one thing I know how to do. I'll tell you what you know how to do. The same thing I know how to do. Mess up. Well, let's pray together. Let's try to lick our wounds and get all the flesh wrapped up around us and see if we can get up enough strength to walk out in the car and go to the house. I love it though, don't you? I love it that He cuts me and helps me to see my weakness. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these times. Lord, these people don't realize how blessed they are to have a desire to come to church and hear this kind of preaching. Lord, as each year goes by, there's less of it going on around the message. And it's not welcome in many churches anymore. People don't want to be told how weak they are. They don't want to be told their faults. And yet, as I quoted to him the other day that Brother Bram said in this message I'm reading from tonight, if we go to church for any other reason other than to hear our faults, I'm afraid we won't get much out of going to church. So Lord, though it may hurt us, it may cut us, we want to see where we're wrong so we can be helped. Lord, the heart is a very deceitful thing. I know it is. All of us, unconverted, have a deceitful heart. So we know the heart can be deceitful. And it can convince us that we're a certain way when in reality we're not. So Lord, we want to look beyond what we might think we are and how spiritual we might think we are. And we want to look to Your Word and measure ourselves, not by ourselves. Because if I measure Donnie by Donnie, well, I'll be right on cue every time. I'll never need anything. Because if I'm the standard and I measure myself by myself, I'll never need to go up or down, in or out. I'll be perfectly on target every time I measure. Because I'm the measuring stick. But if I measure me by You, oh Jesus, I always find them so short. Lord, help each one of us tonight, I pray, Father. Every man, woman, boy, girl. Fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers. Lord, I pray You'd help the song leaders here. Brother Louis. Brother Joel, when he stands in. Brother Joel Yance, Brother Joel Brown. Brother Harvey. These musicians, the singers. Help them, Lord, to realize they may be talented to sing, to play. But if they ever get to a spot that they think they can do it, and they don't need You, they're in a mess of trouble. If a singer thinks they're so good and so profound that they don't need You no more, they'll go through their singing. But the congregation will sit there and look at them, and it won't be a blessing. Oh, they'll clap their hands to be courteous. But if many of them would be honest, they'd say, you know what? That didn't bless me at all. No matter how good we are, how well we can write, how good we can sing or play, we need the touch of Your Spirit to be able to really minister to spiritual people. Help us, Lord. Lord, I pray You'd help me. Lord Jesus, help me that I'll never get to a place that I don't think I can preach. Please help me, Jesus, that I'll never get to a place that I think I don't need You. Please, Lord. There's a certain preacher that's been around this message for many, many years. Told Brother Darrell several years ago he could preach with or without the anointing. He didn't really need it either way. Help me, God, that I'll never be that way. Help me, Lord. You know I'm like a stuttering child. If they could see me back there in that office, I'm a nervous wreck before I come out. Whether I preach before hundreds or a handful, I'm the same way. It's a wonder to me anything comes out of my mouth that's even sensible. I'm so nervous, knowing that I have to answer for what I say. Help me that I never get away from that dependency on You, Lord Jesus. Granted, I pray, Father, we love You, Lord.
Hallelujah. I mean, raise your hand to him and say, Lord, I need you. I need you in my business. I need you in my home as a housewife, on my job, as a musician, as a song leader, as a deacon, as a trustee. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't make excuses with your weaknesses, friends. Bring them there to him and say, Lord, you want this? Anything you can do with it, Lord? Help me. I can present it to you. Hallelujah. I didn't hear the prayer request, so I'm not sure if you all had prayer for Brother Darrell or not, but Brother Darrell's really suffering in his back today. He contacted me earlier today, and he's been down on his hands and knees most of the day, not been able to even stand up, in so much pain that he's just been crying off and on all day, not been able to even get up and move about the house, but he's been on his hands and knees. And I texted him just before I came out of the office there and said it's the worst pain he'd ever dealt with in his life. Just reached over to get a pair of pants off of a hanger or something, and something happened to him. Also, Brother Charlie Cox was cutting a limb or tree or something yesterday, and it fell off and hit him in his neck, upper part of his neck here, and they had to rush him to the hospital and cracked a vertebrae. Going to have some therapy. I'm sure many of you heard about Brother John and Sister Betty Turner, that man had come into their place and tried to rob them and killed a couple of people and tried to shoot Brother John and didn't have any more ammunition, but he hit him, and so we want to remember them as well. Now, I wonder, you like for us to pray for you as we go before the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Have you got weaknesses you'd like to bring before him tonight? Would you like to get weak? Get weak? Brother Bim said, ain't that strange? Among Pentecostal people, saying that we want to get weak. Won't you take your hand on that brother or sister that's standing by you? Let's pray for them. I'll let you go. I know your kids have got school tomorrow, and I try to be mindful of that. But we got something really pressing us right now. The needs of our brothers and sisters and your needs. Don't pray for yourself now, but let's pray for these requests. Heavenly Father, I want to bring before you tonight Brother Darrell, Lord. I haven't seen him today, but Lord, from what he's been communicating to me today, Lord God, he's been just in awful pain. Lord Jesus, we pray for our brother tonight, dear God, that you'd move for him, Lord. Not sure exactly what happened to him, Father, but I know that you know. Lord, he's been in so much pain, he's not been able to even stand up, but moving around the house on his all fours, his hands and knees today, Lord. I pray that you'd move, Lord Jesus. May you come down right there in his home now, Father, I pray. You suffered stripes on your back, Lord, so he could be healed. Touch him, I pray tonight, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, you see Brother Charlie Cox had this accident, Lord, and dear God, they had to fly him, Lord, because he was temporarily paralyzed. Lord, I just pray that you'd move for our brother. Dear God, may you touch him, Lord. The doctors think everything's going to be okay. May have to have some therapy and crack the vertebrae, but sore and in pain. But I pray, Lord, that you'd move for him, Lord God. May you help him, dear Father. Also, Lord Jesus, we want to remember Brother John and Sister Betty Turner. Lord, you know this situation that happened to them last week. Father, the man coming in and trying to rob them, Lord, and shooting those people, innocent people there, shot in cold blood, Lord. And he tried to shoot Brother John, but was out of ammunition. Lord, but he took his pistol, I guess, and hit him. And Lord, we pray for them that you'd help them, Lord. No doubt it's really unnerved them, dear God, and just shook them up, Father. I pray that you'd help them, Lord. Father, we're living in a terrible time, Lord. Trouble everywhere. Then, Lord, there was hundreds of hands that was raised across this building tonight, God. Lord, you know every need that was signified by the uplifting of the hand. Lord, maybe some had a weakness in their heart. Maybe others had a strength. They had a strength and they wanted to lay that strength on the altar. Not that you would use it, but so they could get rid of it, Lord. God, I pray that you'd help us to comb through our lives.
and separate and divide. Only the Word can divide strengths from weaknesses. And our own human mind will categorize them wrong every time. And our own minds will categorize this as a keeper. And we need to lay this aside. And this is a keeper. And lay this aside. And you look at it. And you look at all the things we've checked. And you say, no, that's an X. That's an X. That's an X. Help us, Lord God. May the Word discern our strengths and our weaknesses, Father. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Oh, grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. Hey, sing for us. His strength is perfect. Praise God. And to these things which have been said tonight, the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's sing the chorus as we go. See you, Lord willing, this weekend. Remember the youth camp coming up next week? We want to keep this on our hearts, that God will go and prepare the hearts of the speakers, hearts of the young people that will be coming, and that God will move and change lives. See you, Lord willing, this weekend. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone.
He will be us when we can carry on. Raised in His power, the weak He comes strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when